Previously on The Dark Side of Love. Wrestling superstar Chris Benoit is at the top of his game until he's rocked by the stunning and untimely death of his best friend, fellow wrestler Eddie Guerrero. Chris can't cope with the loss, and he spirals into deep and unrelenting grief. And he would take it out on the two people he loved the most. Hello and welcome to The Dark Side of Love. I'm your host, Bianca Sloan, author of suspense novels about the dark side of love. And this week is part two of the case I'm calling The Darkest Hour. Before I dive into this episode, I wanted to give you just a little bit of a heads up. Now, this is not something that I normally do because this is a true crime podcast, after all, about the dark side of love. I am not talking about unicorns and lollipops, but some of the details in this particular episode might be a little hard to take. So just a heads up that this one, it's a tough one. Near the end of 2005, Chris Benoit's best friend, fellow wrestler Eddie Guerrero, dies suddenly from heart disease at the age of 38. This was a man who was more than just a colleague. He was like a brother to Chris, someone whose sports writer Greg Oliver described to Autopsy the last hours of Chris Benoit as, quote, a soulmate. Eddie's death, it pulverized Chris, and he couldn't get over it, much to everyone's surprise and on some level, confusion. Eddie's nephew, Chavo Guerrero, also a wrestler, told Dark Side of the Ring that his uncle's death, quote, affected Chris like a spouse or something. And Eddie's actual widow, retired wrestler Vicky Guerrero, also said in The Dark Side of the Ring that Chris would come over to her house, go into her bedroom, and sit by Eddie's side of the bed and cry. As she told the program, he broke my heart. While Chris retreated from friends, he also became more and more paranoid, more introverted, just really different from the Chris that everyone had always known and loved. He did, however, continue to wrestle because, as Chris Jericho noted in The Dark Side of the Ring, quote, he continued on because he didn't know what else to do. In an attempt to help her husband channel his anguish, Nancy gave Chris a journal, encouraging him to write to Eddie, hoping that by expressing his grief and his sorrow that somehow he would be able to move past it. And while Chris poured out his feelings and the depth of his despair into that journal, he didn't seem to be getting any better. Nancy continued to worry about her husband and thought leaving wrestling might be best for his mental health. As Nancy's sister Sandra said in The Dark Side of the Ring, quote, staying in the business was going to eventually harm his well-being. And in fact, one of the sentences that Chris writes in his journal is absolutely chilling. He says to Eddie, quote, I will be with you soon. The weekend of June 22nd, 2007. That Friday, June 22nd, Chris pays a visit to his doctor, Dr. Phil Aston. He's like a Dr. Feelgood, basically. And the Statesboro Herald reported that Chris had just stopped by to visit, which is kind of strange, it seems. He wanted to pay a little visit to the doctor's staff. And the doctor said that he didn't seem, meaning Chris, he did not seem to exhibit any signs of distress. The day before that, June 21st, Chris had called his neighbor, Jamie Robinson, to let him know that he was going to be heading out for the weekend, and they had some friendly chit-chat about the upcoming 4th of July holiday and how they'd get together when Chris was back in town. Jamie noted that it was, quote, a typical conversation. Much like Dr. Aston, he didn't note any red flags in his exchange with Chris. On the night of June 22nd, at 9:25 p.m., there was a call to information from the Benoit house asking for the number to the local police department. No call was ever received by law enforcement. That same night, there was a call to a neighbor that also went unanswered. This is one of those things that later on will cause a lot of speculation. For example, why wasn't 911 called? Was there an argument, some fight between Nancy and Chris where she wanted some help, but because they were celebrities, she didn't want to make it a big thing by calling 911? Did she think she could handle it herself at some point? We'll never know. But here is what is known. Chris is scheduled to head out to Corpus Christi, Texas for WWE Raw, which was taking place on Monday, June 25th. At some point during that weekend, Chris called his friend Chavo Guerrero and said that Nancy and Daniel were sick with food poisoning, and he was debating about whether or not to participate in the match because his wife and son were sick. Chavo told Dark Side of the Ring that something seemed off with Chris, and he asked his friend if he was okay before telling him, "I love you." In the early hours of Sunday, June 24th, Chavo receives a text from Chris saying, quote, "The dogs are in the enclosed pool area and the back door is open." Strangely enough, he gets the exact same text from Nancy's phone. Later that morning, this is Sunday, Chris called the talent relations office of the WWE and said that Daniel, his son, was vomiting and that he and Nancy were at the hospital with him. Even so, he still indicates that he is coming to Texas later that day for the match, to participate in the match. By Monday, June 25th, the event in Corpus Christi is hours away and Chris is not there. Senior WWE officials are worried because they haven't heard from Chris since that call on Sunday morning. At this point, Chavo shares the text messages that he received from Chris and Nancy's cell phones, and this eventually triggers Vince McMahon, who's the head of the WWE, to make the decision to ask for a welfare check of the Benoit household. Larry Alden from the Sheriff's Department in Fayette County, Georgia, where the Benoits live, he heads out to the house to find out what's going on. There were two German Shepherds in the front yard, and after putting them away, he went in through the side door and was immediately hit with an odor. And as he told the Dark Side of the Ring, quote, "Something is dead in here." Chris and Nancy's young son, Daniel, was found face down on his bed, a Bible next to his body. Xanax was later found in his system, leading to speculation that he was probably unconscious before Chris smothered him. A large kitchen knife was also later discovered under Daniel's bed, which you don't even want to fathom what Chris might have had planned for his son with that knife. Nancy was found in the home's bonus room, which was being used as an office. Her arms were tied behind her with cable, her feet duct-taped together. A bloody tube sock wrapped in duct tape was found in the kitchen trash, leading to speculation that it was used as a gag. Nancy is wrapped in a blanket, laying on the floor, a Bible also by her body. According to the evidence, Chris pressed his knee into Nancy's back, breaking it, all while pulling a cord around her neck and strangling her. Chris's body was discovered in the gym that was in the basement. He had created a noose out of the weight machine cord from the pull-down machine. According to what Nancy's sister Sandra told Chris Jericho on his podcast, Talk is Jericho, Chris's search history on his computer showed, quote, "the quickest and easiest way to break a neck." She went on to say that he used a towel around his neck that was attached to the handle of the machine, that he then pulled down using a heavy weight and released it, which snapped his neck instantly. Nancy Benoit was 43 years old. Daniel Benoit was 7. Chris Benoit was 40. As details start to emerge about the tragedy, and investigators and people who knew Chris and Nancy start the painstaking process of piecing together what happened, it's determined that Nancy and Daniel were killed on June 22nd, likely after that call to information at 9:25 that night seeking a number for the local police department. And as his wife and son lay dead, Chris went to sleep in that house, He sent text messages. He made phone calls about Daniel and Nancy being sick from food poisoning, that he had missed his flight to Texas. He was actually considering getting on a plane, performing on television in front of millions of fans and viewers, knowing that entire time that his wife and son were dead by his hand in their house. And you don't have any words for this. You can't even try to put words to it to make it make sense. Obviously, in the end, Chris would not take that flight. He would not perform in that match. Instead, on June 24th, Chris took his own life, 2 days after killing his wife and son. Retired wrestler Dean Malenko, who was friends and colleagues with Chris, summed it up in The Dark Side of Ring as, quote, some bad horror movie. You got that right. And as Chris and Nancy's pastor, Reverend George Dillard, told Autopsy, quote, I don't know that you can ever make sense of it. No, you cannot. You just cannot. That night, the WWE produced a 3-hour televised memorial honoring Chris. Reps from WWE say that at that time that the decision was made to produce this memorial, they didn't have all of the information about what happened. All they knew was that Chris and his family were dead. And they say they didn't know that they didn't have all the information. Again, all they knew was that, they say, that Chris and Nancy and Daniel were dead. So as a result, this memorial that was produced was a fawning, gushing love letter to Chris Benoit. One of those things, I guess, that seems like a good idea at the time. Actually, it was probably always a terrible idea, but especially when the truth comes out about what actually happened. It makes them look pretty bad, let's just say. Chavo Guerrero, who participated in the special, told Dark Side of the Ring that he was basically horrified at the part he had played in this tribute, saying, quote, and now I'm part of humanizing a murderer. The following night, once all the details come out, Vince McMahon has to tuck his tail between his legs, go on national TV, and backtrack on all of this praise, all of this, like I said, this love letter. And from that point on, it was basically Chris Benoit who? There was a memorial for Nancy and Daniel in Daytona Beach, Florida on July 14th, 2007. They were cremated and their ashes placed in starfish-shaped urns. Chris Benoit was also cremated, though the whereabouts of his remains have not been disclosed. Of course, the why of this tragedy raised more questions than answers. There was rampant speculation that Chris was hopped up on steroids, because he was found to have excessively high levels of testosterone in his system. There was also speculation that he was in some kind of a drunken rage, though there was no alcohol found in his system, and his liver did not show the effects associated with long-term alcohol abuse. And everyone said that Chris was really not known to be a drinker, though there were, to be fair, found at the scene, there were some crushed, like empty beer cans and a half-empty bottle of wine. Though again, this was considered unusual for Chris because he was not known to be a big drinker. Another theory was that Chris and Nancy were having arguments about her wanting him to be home more because their son Daniel had developmental disabilities due to fragile X syndrome, and that Chris snapped from this pressure and killed his family. Now, this is patently false, as Daniel was not developmentally disabled, though I imagine that there were some arguments about Nancy wanting her husband to stay home. He was traveling too much. He's gone too much. That would make sense. But this other thing about their son being developmentally disabled, patently false. Not true. Don't believe it if you read it somewhere. A suicide note was eventually found inside of one of Chris's Bibles that was given to his first wife, Martina. Chris's father, Mike, told the Atlanta Journal-Constitution that a handwritten notation in the Bible stated, quote, I'm preparing to leave this earth. Former wrestler Chris Nowinski, who is a neuroscientist and holds a PhD, now that's Those are things you don't have on your bingo card, but they're awesome things. But he suspected that Chris Benoit was likely suffering from undiagnosed and obviously untreated chronic traumatic encephalopathy, which is CTE, which that's not terribly surprising given what Chris Benoit did for a living, that he would have CTE. So after his death, Chris's brain was sent off to an institute somewhere, and it was studied. And his brain was found to have extensive damage for someone who was, quote, only 40. But, I mean, he made his name on these crushing headbutts. That was like one of his signature moves night after night. And as his father, Mike, told ABC News about some of these head blows that his son suffered, some of the things used were, quote, cables, ladders, chairs. The props they were using when they were getting hit in the head, it's a real chair. It's a steel chair. Imagine getting hit on the head repeatedly every night for years with a ladder, a table. I mean, yeah, he's going to have brain damage. That's not surprising. As Chris Nowinski said to The Dark Side of the Ring, quote, if you get hit in the head thousands of times, your brain can essentially start to rot. Yeah, not surprising. According to the National Institutes of Health, CTE can lead to dementia, a decline in memory and cognitive skills, aggressiveness, poor impulse control, depression, and suicidal behavior. As Matthew Randazzo V said in The Dark Side of the Ring, quote, no matter what happened that weekend, Chris Benoit's story was going to have a tragic end. And it's been suggested that a combination of factors contributed to what happened. He was on painkillers, the unrelenting grief he was feeling over Eddie Guerrero's death. Now we know he had CTE. Then there's the stress about the possible end of his career. And of course, the ongoing strife with Nancy. Remember, she had filed for divorce. She had a restraining order. They had a lot of issues between them. But the truth is, you know, we can speculate all we want about what happened that horrifying weekend in 2007, but there's only three people who know, and they're no longer here. You know, but that said, it is pretty clear that Chris knew what he was doing. I mean, there's the phone calls, the internet searches, the text messages. He drugged his son. This was deliberate. There's just no two ways about that. As Chris Jericho so aptly put it in The Dark Side of the Ring, quote, he fooled us all. In the ensuing years, Chris Benoit's legacy has all but been erased. I mean, remember, he was heavyweight champion. I mean, he reached the top of the mountain. But after this, he was persona non grata. The mandate came down from the highest ranks of wrestling that whatever you do, we do not talk about Chris Benoit. Chris Jericho said in The Dark Side of the Ring that the destruction of Chris's accomplishments, that he's been, quote, erased from existence forever, that everything he achieved, gone, would have broken his heart. A 22-year career filled with accolades, admiration, championships, wiped out like it never even happened. Chris completely lost the respect of his peers and his friends and nearly destroyed the sport of wrestling. And so normally Chris Benoit, with his storied career, with, like I said, all these championships and this longevity and this popularity, he would have been a shoo-in for induction into the Wrestling Hall of Fame, but that is not going to happen. However, there has been not a movement necessarily, as far as I could see, to induct Nancy into the Hall of Fame in recognition for her innovative and pioneering contributions to the sport. As her stepson, David Benoit, told The Dark Side of the Ring, quote, she definitely deserves the recognition that she doesn't get. People who knew Chris still struggle to reconcile their friend and colleague with the man who murdered his family. Dean Malenko said in The Dark Side of the Ring that, quote, the act of what he did is unthinkable, unforgivable. And so Dean ultimately prefers to remember Chris Benoit as, quote, one of the best performers our business has ever seen, and kind of leave it at that. For Chavo Guerrero, he simply says, quote, you love Chris, you just hate what he did. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of The Dark Side of Love. I'm your host, Bianca Sloan, and show your love for The Dark Side of Love by visiting thedarksideoflove.com for show notes and transcripts. While you're there, sign up for my newsletter to be notified about new episodes, and you can also find a link to my Patreon page where you can access bonus material and other fun stuff. Learn more about my suspense novels about The Dark Side of Love by visiting biancasloan.com. Thanks for hanging out with me, and join me next time for another tale of love gone wrong. I'll see you on the dark side.